Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The CDC is warning that a new variant of the Omicron strain of coronavirus has nearly doubled over the past week. So it looks like COVID is the only thing that's actually doing new year, new me.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to actor Michael Shannon. But first, a closer look.
Today, Republicans exploded into absolute chaos, unlike here at this show, on what was supposed to be their first day in charge of the House of Representatives when a revolt by far-right MAGA members blocked GOP leader Kevin McCarthy from winning enough votes to become Speaker on the first two ballots. It's the first time the House has failed to elect a leader on the first ballot in a century and will almost certainly lead to even more GOP infighting and chaos. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Too long to recount all the political tumult we experienced in the year 2022, the January 6th revelations, the sedition charges for insurrectionists, the criminal charges for Trump cronies, the FBI search of Mar-a-Lago, the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade, the response to Russia's war in Ukraine, and the shocking midterm election result that defied decades of historical precedent, among many other things. Now, if after all of that, you were hoping that 2023 would usher in a new era of calm and normalcy, then please allow me to introduce you to one Rudolph Giuliani, seen here, realizing he wrote not just 2022 on a check today, but also that he wrote bribe in the memo. Anyway, Rudy was at Mar-a-Lago to celebrate New Year's with a bunch of other normal, well-adjusted people. And ring in the new year, he recorded and then posted online a very bizarre video where you can't hear a word he's saying. We're going to show you the video he himself posted online. But again, none of this will be intelligible to you, since he's completely drowned out by the noise of the party, but apparently doesn't realize it. Hats off to the band for playing Footloose for a crowd that almost certainly medically incapable of doing the Footloose dance. Footloose sounds like an excuse Rudy would give for being late to a meeting. Sorry, boss, I got a Footloose. The toes on the right one are facing backwards, so even when I run, I go in a circle. Also, this is just some advice for anyone on any screen, myself included. It's one of the first things I learned in television. Never lead with your chin. No one's chin is their finest attribute, especially when you're 78 years old. If you fell asleep during Fallon and woke up to me looking like that, you would change the channel immediately. Here, I'll prove it. What happened? You fall asleep? You fall asleep during Fallon? What happened to have you? Check out the show. There is one more thing I have to point out before we move on. Rudy has since deleted this video, but when he originally posted it on Twitter, he did so with the caption, and this is 100% real, Mar-a-Lago 2023, New Year, headed right to 2020. Either Rudy forgot what year it was, or he successfully traveled exactly 1 year into the future. And honestly, I think both explanations are feasible. If Rudy had a DeLorean, I absolutely believe he would use it to travel a comically insignificant amount of time. Rudy, where should we go? Back to the Jurassic era? Should we kill Hitler? Or should we travel to the 30th century? I say we go 1 year into the future. Don't want to see if my hair grows back. I've been covering it in chia seeds and watering it for weeks. Now, Rudy may have been wrong about what year it is, but if today's stunning political developments are any indication, I'm guessing his fellow Republicans would give anything to fast forward to 2024 because they're currently embroiled in a chaotic meltdown over the future of their party. On the very first day they were supposed to be in charge of the House of Representatives, GOP leader Kevin McCarthy failed to win enough votes on the first two ballots to become Speaker of the House, a monumental failure that has not happened in 100 years.
Longtime Trump ally Kevin McCarthy is facing a revolt from far-right members of his caucus who think the party's only mistake is not doing more to embrace Trumpism.
The results of this first round of this high-stakes vote for a new speaker have now come in. Republican leader Kevin McCarthy had hoped to take the gavel immediately after the first ballot. That will not happen. The voting will continue this afternoon. He faces an uphill battle within his own party, a select few against him, but enough of them to keep him from getting the votes he needed.
Congressman Kevin McCarthy, who can only afford to lose 4 House Republican votes, and if he wants to become the next speaker, has lost 5 House Republican votes, 6 House Republican votes.
McCarthy will not win.
Costa.
On this second ballot, on the second vote of the Republican Congress.
That's right. GOP leader Kevin McCarthy, who has been fanatically pro-Trump and spent years ingratiating himself to Trump and the MAGA movement, is facing a backlash from far-right members of his own party who think he's not pro-Trump enough. And if there's one political lesson we've learned in the past 6 years, is that there is always someone more pro-Trump, whenever. Whatever line of decency you draw in your head, someone else is going to walk right through that mother. I mean, even Trump himself knows there are people out there more pro-Trump than him. I mean, people get Donald Trump tattoos. He wouldn't. He also couldn't. His skin is so tough, you need a diamond-tipped needle just to leave a light smudge. So now McCarthy's already lost at least the first 2 votes, imperiling his bid to become speaker and throwing the GOP conference into chaos. In fact, House Republicans on either side of the fight have been bickering, calling each other names, and accusing each other of backstabbing and betrayal.
There's nothing that indicates to me that he's going to change his pattern since he's been in leadership, where he's part of the swamp cartel.
If you want to drain the swamp, you cannot put the biggest alligator in charge of the exercise.
They're like children. This is such a childish attempt at gaining more and more attention. You know why they say it like that? Because they want you to interview them again. That's why they're doing it.
I find out that it's my Freedom Caucus colleagues and my supposed friends that went and did that, and they asked nothing for me. Nothing. That's what I found out in there. I am furious.
These people want to be taken seriously as a governing party. Meanwhile, they sound like sorority members who just got kicked out for drinking too much. No one told me there were any rules against alcohol consumption, and now I found out from my supposed friends that butt chugging is not allowed. Well, I am furious. Now, I'm not saying I'm enjoying all this GOP infighting, but when I heard about McCarthy's troubles, I did fly down to Mar-a-Lago to party with Rudy Giuliani. You should have seen us. We spent all night pounding shots of whiskey mixed with prune juice and dancing to 80s movie soundtracks. It was like if White Lotus took place in a hospice. Ooh, who do you think's gonna die? Everyone, eventually. Now, as we're taping this, we still don't know the final outcome because the House will have to keep voting until someone is elected speaker. As of this afternoon, we don't know when that will happen. There's a chance you know more about what happened as you're watching this than we do taping it. It's almost like you traveled 8 hours into the future with Rudy Giuliani. In fact, the outcome was so uncertain heading into today's vote that many, including Fox News, were predicting it could take days or even weeks for the Republicans to finally elect a speaker.
McCarthy needs the votes of all but 4 House Republicans to win the speakership, but at least 5 and as many as 14 House Republicans oppose him. It could be the first time in a century the speaker's vote isn't settled on the first ballot.
Back in the Civil War times, there was one speaker who was not elected for 2 months, and it took 133 votes.
All right, first of all, it's not a great sign for your party's political fortunes when pundits are comparing your situation to something that happened, quote, back in the Civil War times. Also, dig in 2023, Steve Doocy talking like an old prospector huddled around a campfire with a tin of beans. Back in the Civil War times, there weren't no fancy phones or gizmo. All we had was our wits. Well, not all of us had them. So much for my resolution to make less fun of Rudy Giuliani this year. They all deserve this, especially McCarthy, who was so desperate for power, he infamously flew down to Mar-a-Lago for that embarrassing photo op with Donald Trump just weeks after the January 6th insurrection. Remember that? McCarthy did everything he could to cozy up to Trump and the MAGA circus in the House, and he's still facing a revolt from the looniest members of the GOP.
He's, of course, gotten very close to Donald Trump. He rehabilitated Donald Trump. I think all of these things were in an effort to be able to, when the moment came, to tell these people, you can trust me. I'm a conservative. I'm on your side. I'm with the team.
I think all of those things were explained by him wanting to be able to get the gavel on the first ballot today. And if he doesn't, and it's looking increasingly like he won't, this will be the first time we've seen this in our lifetimes. This has only happened once since the Civil War. And I think it will badly, badly weaken him.
Did McCarthy think one visit to Mar-a-Lago was going to magically solve everything? That place is the opposite of Disney World. It's where dreams go to die. Oh, so no way. So it's the same as Disney World. If you ever find yourself in Mar-a-Lago and you're not wearing a blue windbreaker with FBI on the back, that's how you know you took some wrong turns in life. It's like waking up in a hotel in Tijuana with a bag of white powder on your nightstand, a stranger in your bathtub, and loud knocking on the door while someone yells, Policia, abre la puerta. You're not, when you hear that, gonna look in the mirror and think to yourself, this current year, 2024, is off to a great start. But maybe the craziest aspect of this debacle was all the speculation beforehand about who, if anyone, could beat McCarthy if he lost the speaker vote. Several names were floated before today. And on Fox News, one of the far-right Republicans revolting against McCarthy refused to rule out one of the most far-fetched hypotheticals involving you-know-who.
I've heard from people at the House Freedom Caucus that they like two names out there, Steve Scalise and Donald Trump.
Well, I'm sure we do like it, but I don't think they're the right people for speaker. They may be, but we should have a conversation.
That's right. Some of them were actively floating Trump as a possible speaker of the House before the votes today, because technically you don't have to be a member of Congress. In fact, you don't even have to be human, as far as I know. Republicans could end up picking a meth-addicted Florida crocodile with a beer can helmet and a golf cart with a bumper sticker that says, my other ride is your mom. The main reason we did that joke is to see what graphics came up with. There's always a fear after a long hiatus that their skills will atrophy, but as you can see, we good. Anyway, yeah, give it up for graphics. Anyway, can you imagine Donald Trump as Speaker of the House? He doesn't even qualify for any of the words in the job title. He lives in a beach resort, not a house, and he's not very good at speaking.
10,000 known or suspected gang members controlled by large donors. Every single car out there, even the really expensive ones.
God bless the United States. They sacrifice every day for the furniture and future of their children.
Unelected regulators and regulators.
The carters of power, or they're our carters. They're not their carters. These are our carters.
As insane as it would be, I would love to hear Trump's first address as Speaker of the House. Welcome, everyone, to the Carters of Power. We love. They're a quarter. We love our quarters, don't we, folks? We love quarters because we're the core. And we control the doors, and that's the corridor. If you follow me down this corridor, it'll lead to another corridor, which will in turn lead to a third corridor, where you can all get the f*** out because I'm not going to listen to a goddamn thing you have to say. Corridor. This was supposed to be Republicans' first day in charge of the House, a day on which they were hoping to be taken seriously as a governing party, and instead they imploded in absolute chaos. Whoever ends up as their leader, today's meltdown should be yet another reminder that the current Republican Party simply isn't fit to govern. And when it comes to Congress, they shouldn't even be allowed in the doors, much less the
Carters.
This has been a closer look.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Our guest tonight is an Oscar-nominated actor you know from films like Nocturnal Animals and Revolutionary Road, as well as the HBO series Boardwalk Empire. He stars in the Showtime limited series George and Tammy. The finale airs January 8th. Please welcome back to the show our friend Michael Shannon, everyone. Welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks, Jeff.
First guest of 2023.
2024.
Yeah.
I'd get in that DeLorean.
You would?
Yeah.
You're going a year into the future?
If it was nice of you to go to the party with him.
Yeah. I mean, I worry about him.
Yeah.
He used to be America's mayor, and now I feel like he's a little down on his luck.
And senile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where would you go if you had a time machine?
Oh, dear Lord. I would have liked to have been here in New York in the 70s.
Yeah. I think that people who are actually here in New York in the 70s think we're crazy for wanting that.
They do.
But I kind of agree with you.
I would have gone to CBGB's every night, you know?
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy I am.
So it's interesting because that's what draws you. That's the kind of music you'd be drawn to, right? New York in the 70s. George Jones, you seem like a natural, but country music was not part of your growing up, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Kentucky, so... thank you. It's just below the Mason-Dixon line.
That sounded like the wind going through a holler. Yeah.
No, that's Mitch McConnell and Joe Biden down there right now.
I was like somebody blowing it over a jug.
Yeah. ostensibly, I guess everybody from the South is supposed to be tremendously familiar with country music, but... my only contact with it really was seeing it on Hee Haw every now and then.
Yeah.
Watch Hee Haw on TV.
So did that make it easier to take on playing George Jones, that you didn't sort of grow up married to that music?
I suppose so, because, it wasn't like I was trying to step into one of my idol's shoes, although as I was researching him and getting to know him better and better, I became quite fond of him, as you're, I guess, supposed to if you're playing somebody. But, yeah. I guess at the outset, I didn't really know enough about it to be super intimidated. But the singing was very intimidating.
Because you're doing your own singing.
Yes.
You're obviously playing this great vocalist, not someone you're familiar with. And also, I think people don't understand. It's wonderful to watch. I've loved what I've seen so far.
Thank
you guys sound great. But, of course, to film music, you've got to sing all day long.
Yes, and you have to sing ultimately to get the good sound on the track. You have to sing a cappella, which means that you have a little earwig in your ear and you can hear the song, but all the extras out in the audience just hear your voice. So you're singing a cappella in front of hundreds of strangers. And there was one particular day where we had Jessica and I, we had a daytime outdoor concert, and then I had that same day a nighttime outdoor concert all by myself, and it was freezing cold, and... our wonderful music producer, Rachel Moore, she said I was out there singing, 14, 15 hours. And she kept telling me, because we did have pre-recorded tracks that I could lip sync to. And she said, we've already got the track. Stop. What are you doing? And I said, no, I think I can do it better. So I just kept doing it over and over and over again.
I really feel like doing it in front of strangers... this is my full nightmare. It would be like going to a karaoke bar where they say, the machine's down.
Right.
But we still love
you. But the words, right?
You know the words, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly basically what it's like.
Yes. What was the music you listened to in your house growing up?
Oh, dear. Well, I mean, We didn't really, it was more of a TV house than a stereo house. I got a boombox around when I was 12 years old, a little tape player, and the first two tapes I bought were Phil Collins, No Jacket Required.
Yep, classic.
And Stevie Wonder, Part-Time Lover.
Really good start.
Those were my first two cassettes, yeah. And I wore those out. And then when I started high school, I got into the jazz band and started playing bass, jazz bass, and really started getting into jazz music.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you I should have asked this when you first came out, but what did you do for New Year's?
Well, it was legal.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. And right now I'm doing a play here in New York, actually. We've got one more week. It's called Des Moines, if you find yourself in Brooklyn. And anyway, we had two shows on New Year's Eve and two shows on New Year's Day.
Oh, wow. So there's not a lot of partying in between there.
No. After our nighttime show on New Year's Eve, I went to a restaurant down the street and had dinner by myself.
By yourself?
Yeah. They said, we're going to have a champagne toast at midnight. Would you like a glass? I said, no, I'm leaving. And I made sure that when it was midnight, I was walking down the sidewalk.
Now, are you approached when you have dinner alone on a sort of a festive night? Do you think people say, hey, that's Michael Shannon. I feel awful that he's there.
There were some people that came up and said hello, yeah. And then I told them to go away. Mind your own business. And don't feel sorry for me. No matter what you do, I'm fine.
Long before you found your way to George Jones, obviously you have this musical background. You were in a high school jazz band. You also busked here in New York City.
Well, it was Chicago. This
oh,
is back
Chicago.
In Chicago.
All right.
This is back when I was acting for free and five people were coming to see the plays I was in and I was trying to figure out how to get something to eat. So I had this little bongo, just like two little hooked up together like that, and I would go down and in the CTA there's a stop, the Washington stop, that has a tunnel between the red line and the blue line. I would sit in this tunnel and play the bongos.
How'd you do?
Not well.
Yeah.
Not well.
Were That's you good
a
at?
Sense memory, it's coming back. I can't stop myself.
Oh, wait, just stop.
Yeah, give me some bongos over here.
A bunch of change is going to be chucked up here.
Yeah, right.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more from Michael Shannon. Welcome back to Late Night. We're here with Michael Shannon. And Michael, this is very exciting. Your brother and your mother are here in the audience with us tonight.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. What? I think you know
shut
that.
The front door.
Right there.
Oh, my God. Look at that. There's Geraldine and there's David.
Geraldine and David. And David's 40th birthday today.
My little brother. He's 40 years old today.
Yeah, that's great.
January 3rd. Congratulations, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we do anything for him?
What would you like to do?
I don't know. Do you want to come? Why don't you come up? No. Oh, come on. Man. Get on up here. Yeah, man. All right. Happy birthday, man.
Thanks, Mike.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Have a seat.
Now, we should stress, if it was your mom's birthday, you would have brought her up.
No, okay. Still him. Yeah.
All right, so Dave, I did know this was going to happen.
God.
We met each other backstage, and I think I played it, pretty cool.
Yeah.
That I didn't give it up. No, so, hey, you guys, this is Dave's birthday. All right, you want to blow that out for us real quick?
Yeah.
We're not going to do the song.
Yeah, no song.
Yeah, go
no
there.
Singing.
All right.
Nice.
All right, there we go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, so... Dave, we mentioned Kentucky. That's where you guys grew up. You still live there. What was it like growing up together? Did you guys get along as kids?
I think so, as far as I can remember.
We used to play this game called Bonkers.
Yeah.
Remember this game?
I remember Bonkers.
So we had to...
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it was a hallway where all the bedroom... There were like three bedroom doors. And what you'd have to do is you'd have to... Because we have two sisters, so there were four of us. Mm-hmm. So one of us would be stationed in each of the doors, and then one of us would have to run down the hall.
I got to be the runner.
Yeah, you were usually the runner because you were the little one.
Right.
And so everybody in the doorway had a pillow, and you had to try and run down the hall without getting completely creamed
out of me.
By a pillow.
I mean, yeah. Cream me.
Yeah. You know. Bonkers is an excellent name for that game.
Yeah.
Obviously, your brother is an accomplished bongo player. Did you have a musical upbringing? Did you play anything?
I grew up playing, actually started playing the cello, and then now I play the drums.
All right, still play the drums.
Still play the drums.
All right, there you go. Did you guys, were you the kind of family, did you take a lot of road trips as kids?
No. Where would we go? We go to the Natural Bridge every once in a while.
Yeah.
What's the Natural Bridge?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's in Kentucky. It's in Red River Gorge.
Red River Gorge. It's a natural
bridge that I guess was just made by time, eroding rocks.
Yeah. It's very well named.
Yeah. It's not.
It's a rock.
It's not false advertising.
No, it's a rock.
When you get there, you're not like, this isn't.
Oh, it's styrofoam. He painted it.
Yeah. So wait, now Dave, growing up with Michael, did you have any sense that his path would be into acting?
I mean, I guess so. I guess you could say that, yeah. I mean, I always knew there was something special about him.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah.
What's your least favorite of his movies?
Oh. There you go.
8 Mile.
Oh, there you go. Interesting.
8 Mile.
I don't hear that very often. I know this t-shirt looks very threatening, but we got this at a duck pen bowling place in Cincinnati. I was just shooting something in Cincinnati, and they came up to visit me one weekend, and this is
Penn's Mechanical Company.
That's very helpful, because it is very menacing, and it's kind of the opposite, which is it's bowling, but with the tiny pins.
Right. Yeah, with the tiny pins. And it's not about force, it's about finesse.
Right. Yeah,
because her mom won.
Yeah, she won. She we played. Yeah.
Were you, Geraldine, were you surprised you won bowling, or did you expect it? All right, so Michael, you know, I don't want to, I know you're the guest on the show, but you're celebrating your brother, so why don't you tell us what's your favorite thing about your brother Dave here on his 40th birthday?
Oh, man. My brother's one of the toughest people I know.
Oh, right.
Yep.
Cool.
He's been through a lot, and he's still here to tell the tale, so.
That's right.
Yep.
Yep.
That's my brother.
Well, thank you very much for being here. Thank you for being our second guest of 2023.
Right.
You guys, give it up for the Sheridan Brothers. The finale of George and Tammy is January 8th on Showtime. Happy birthday, Dave.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. Once Upon a Beat.